Welcome to Agathos Church, a non-denominational Christian church where the Bible comes alive. And as commissioned believers, we operate in Christ's authority too. You can say it with me. Preach the gospel everywhere, disciple nations, cast out demons, prophesy destiny, and speak with new tongues. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, protected from harm, and we lay hands on the sick who then recover. Now, there was a financial testimony that we'll just have to do it a different day because the person isn't here today. I'm really excited for you to hear this financial testimony. Once you hear it, you'll be like, that is totally supernatural. And so, excited for that. But in the meantime, there's another testimony that I'm very excited for you to hear. And so, Mandy, if you would come on up, please. You can give her a round of applause. Beautiful Mandy. What's that?
I suffered a back injury when I was about 13, 14 years old, and I have lived in severe pain with multiple surgeries, injections, medications, therapies since then. I have never been a day without pain since my injury until several weeks ago when we were up here waiting for Peter to come and pray for us. And I was down here, and instead of waiting for Peter, I started talking to God myself about it. And while I was talking to God, all of a sudden, I literally felt from the top of my spine to the bottom, it just cracked. And then I got cold. It just cracked all the way down. And then I felt cold. Just my whole back went cold. And when I walked out of here that day, I walked out and I had no more pain. I thought it would have to come from Peter or from somebody else praying for me. But I learned that day that God hears me too. And then with that being done, I was able to go home, sweep the floor, clean the bathtubs, things I can't do or couldn't do. And I danced with my kids. Instead of having to take the bottom row in the bleachers, I was able to climb to the top so I could see better. I was able to go bowling with my children, things that I just have not been able to ever do. And I just want everybody to know that that God is happy to do that for somebody else. And I pray that if you are suffering in any way, that you just open your heart and that you just ask Him to just hear you. And that for me, I just felt like I wasn't worthy of that. So I just want you guys to know that we are all worthy. That God loves us all. And I'm grateful.
That's great. Good job. Give God praise, guys. Think about that. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. We give you all the glory.
We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord, for you are worthy to be praised.
Amen. Amen. So good. Okay, so I believe that the spirit of prophecy, testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelations 19. So what just happened, I believe, is somebody who has also had a 25-year injury or a long-time injury, you might be healed. So I would encourage you, if you have something, if you have faith, stand up, check your body. Stand up, check your body. If you have a long-time thing, stand up and check your body. If not now, you can try it later. But what I'm telling you is that Mandy had that for 25 years. And here she just prays and she starts to feel a crack, crack, crack all the way down her spine, no pain. How many surgeries had you had? So many that she forgot how many surgeries she had. Now, can I share the part about when you caught the kid that fell out of the bleachers? Okay, so since then, her back was totally fine, and then she caught a kid who fell out of the bleachers, which was really good, so the kid didn't get severely injured, but it sprained her lower back. So when I asked her today how her back was, because I wanted to give this her to share this testimony, she said her back was hurting. So Sarah and I prayed for her, and what'd you feel today? So today when we prayed for her during worship, she felt an intense heat that went down through her legs, and now her back doesn't hurt again. Isn't that awesome? And so one of the things that'll happen sometimes is that the enemy, one way or another, will try to come and steal a healing, but that's not to happen. It's not to happen. It's not to happen. So praise God, because he willed for you to be healed the first time, and you got healed again. Isn't that awesome? So anyway, just give God the glory again for that. That's awesome. Praise God. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. I don't even know where I'm at.
In God's house.
Amen. Guys, I tell you every time, we don't say those declarations at the start of service as though they were nice ideas. That's the reality of being a son and a daughter of God. That we can walk in that authority to bring his will into this earth. Mandy, if you don't mind me asking, how long have you been following the Lord real specifically? So when did you get baptized recently? So it's like a couple months ago, right? And so, wow. That's beautiful. So a tree fell on them when they were camping and nobody was injured in her family. And she said that God had been pursuing her passionately for 2 years. She was aware of that. But when you saw him deliver you from that situation of the tree falling on your family and deliver your whole family from any harm, that's what caused you to finally say, yes, God, I'm going to follow you. Is that right? Yes. Oh, that's so beautiful. And so that's a couple months ago. And then just a month or so after that, hear her back from 25 years is healed. Isn't that awesome? Because she talked to her father. And he heard her. Amen. That's good. Well, I don't know that I've got anything better than that, guys. What'd she say? Amen. From the mouths of babes. Well, I love you all. I'll just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive right now your grace to bring the word that you want me to bring. I pray, Father, that you would send forth ministering spirits now throughout our entire congregation to everyone listening at the sound of my voice online and who will listen to this. Holy Spirit, move now. I partner with you, Holy Spirit, for your will to be done today in Jesus' name. Okay, you know the crazy thing about teaching the Word of God or any sort of ministry is that if the anointing's not on you, you can't do it. You know why I just prayed right there? I wasn't under the anointing. Now I am. I can feel it. And you ever see sometimes a preacher will just kind of stop at the end of the message and say, like, that's good for today. You know why? It's gone. The Holy Spirit said, that's good for today. I want to encourage you, when you minister on the street, operate out of his anointing. Now, if you aren't feeling it, it doesn't mean you can't do it. Just believe for it and receive it, and it'll come upon you, and then you can step out. We're not ministering by our own strengths, by our own strength. We minister by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're in a series called The Gift That's Within You. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. It's kind of our launching verse for this series. Got a brand new Bible that I'm abnormally excited about. It's got big print, beautiful leather, has stars next to all the fulfilled prophecies of Christ. It's like, man, that's really cool. So really enjoying this. Also has better cross-reference system than any I've ever seen. All right, 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that's within you through the laying out of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, so that's the first. Remember the first sermon? I had another sermon, and then we just kind of had a breakout service, and then I talked about power, love, and a sound mind. Then what I did is we had an impartation service, right? We went back a verse to verse 6 and said, let's have an impartation. Okay, so we prayed impartation. And I believe many of you were very touched by that. I got a lot of feedback about that you're touched by that impartation. Now, it's your job to stir it up. Woo-hoo, watch yourself. Now it's your job to stir it up. You've received impartation. Now it's your job to fan into flame the gift of God that's within you through the laying on of hands. Watch, watch, watch. It's your job to stir it up. That's what the last message was. Remember last 2 weeks ago I taught on power? But then at the end, I talked about how you guys now have the impartation, and the key is for you to say what Peter and John said. They said, what I have, I give to you. What I have, I give to you. I said, we don't just carry truths, although we do carry truths. We actually carry the kingdom on the inside of us. We actually carry God on the inside of us, such that when we reach out to people, God comes out. And the key to stewarding the impartation, the key to fanning it into flame is using it. Using it. Faithful with little, given more. Faithful with little, given more. In other words, if you have the impartation and you start praying for people like you have an impartation, you'll receive more of it. I'm telling you, I got an impartation in like August that, I mean, it was just noticeable. I was telling people even then, I'm carrying something I've never carried before at a level I've never carried it before. You know, all of a sudden, like half the people I was praying for are just going down, going down, going down, going down with the power of God. Again, that's not our goal. We talked about that practically, how to catch people, and also we never try to fall, but we don't resist falling either. It's just a thing, okay? But what I'm telling you is that I was carrying something then. I'm carrying more of it now. Not necessarily because I've had more prayer of impartation, although I have had more prayer for impartation, but because I've used it. When you use it, you get more. When you use it, it fans it into flame. You've got the spark, but you don't quench the spirit. You fan it into flame through use. Okay? Okay. If you had monies and you want to operate in God's economy financially, what would you do? You would what? You would sow. He gives bread for food and seed to the sower, doesn't he? Wouldn't that be the case with an impartation too? And so it's power for your life, but it's also meant to be sown into other people's lives so that you get more of it. And he'll multiply your seed for sowing. He'll multiply your seed for sowing. So what I'm saying is start praying. Got a quick testimony. I don't know how it panned out because I didn't get contact info. I wish I would have. There was a lady that walked into the post office. She had COPD. Recently. Here's what I hear in the post office. This lady's just walking. And I turn around because I didn't know if it was someone who was running from like someone trying to steal something from them. You know what I mean? There's such heavy breathing. It's like, what's wrong over here? So I turn around. She says, I'm sorry to interrupt. And I said, no, I'm looking at you with compassion, is what I told her. And she said, okay. She's got a mask on. So then she goes and sits down outside the post office, and I felt like the Lord's like, yep, this is you. So I go out there, and I say, hey, what's going on with your breathing? And she says, oh, I have COPD. They're supposed to get me oxygen. They haven't got me oxygen yet. They can't get me oxygen. You know, one of those sort of stories. I said, and you guys know what I do in these situations. I've told you. I have a certain like phrasing that I find works really well with people. And I just say, you know, I'm a believer. And often when I pray for people, they get healed instantly. And that's true. It's not all the time. I don't even know that it's most of the time for me yet. I'm looking forward to when it's most of the time. For Jesus, it was every time. But what I'm saying is I can honestly tell them often when I pray for people, they get healed instantly. And she said, before I even asked her, she's like, yeah, pray for me. I said, okay. I mean, literally, guys, you're walking around with a uniform on in the kingdom that says I'm here and I'm fit for service. of the king. And Lord, who do you want to have set free? Because that's my goal, is to be part of your ministry. The Lord spoke to me recently. This is so key, guys. You're never out of uniform. You know off-duty police officers? I mean, you'll hear testimonies every year of an off-duty police officer that stepped into some crime that was about to happen and they thwarted the crime because although they're off-duty, they're never quite off-duty. Guys, you aren't just in duty. You know this when you're at church. You're not just in duty when you're feeling particularly holy. You're in duty when duty calls. And so I wasn't feeling like particularly holy that day. I actually kind of felt like my day was getting jumbled up. I was trying to get stuff from a store and I ended up going to a store I didn't need to go to. And I'm like, man, I just wasted 30 minutes. I was a little bit frustrated about it. But there's this lady breathing heavy. I turn around to see what's going on. She says, sorry, as though she had been disturbing me. And I said, no, I'm looking at you with compassion. And then I go out a few minutes later, ask her what's going on. She tells me what's going on. I ask her if she wants me to pray for her. I pray for her. I ask her, do you feel anything different? I said, about half the time I pray for people, they'll feel something. Do you feel anything? And she said, no, not particularly. I said, that's okay. And I was about to tell her, you know, you might experience it in, you know, tonight or something like that. That's happened to me before. I've prayed for someone's back. I thought for sure the power of God was released. They say everything was the same. The next morning they wake up, they're a neighbor of my parents. They find my mom and says, your son prayed for me? My back is so much better this morning. So sometimes it takes a minute. But what I'm telling you is I felt led to just pray for her again. So I pray for her again and I try a different tact. I say, Father, we just receive right now. All of a sudden, for 30 to 40 seconds, the power of God was flowing out of me like a hose out of both my hands. I could feel it coming out of me. And I was just like, wow. And I just said, more, Lord. I could literally feel it flowing out of my hands into this lady. At the end of 30 seconds, 40 seconds of that, I stopped. I said, did you feel that? She said, yes, like that. Like, she was wondering what it was. And I said, that was the power of God. She says, I know. I said, I believe you. I believe that you just got healed. And I said, do something you couldn't do. Can you take a deep breath? She goes, no wheezing. Isn't that awesome? Like that. Now, like I said, I don't know, you know, I don't have the follow-up to know how, but something changed right there when the power of God was released. And I'm telling you, you're always in uniform. You're always in uniform. Even if you feel like you're off duty, you're in duty because it doesn't cost you anything. It does not cost you anything. It's not about you, it's about Jesus, and he lives in you. And if you want to steward the impartation, if you want to fan into flame the gift of God that's within you, you have to use it, use it, use it, use it, use it. Use it. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. When he pulls at you like this, say, uh-huh, okay, let's go. Deal? Okay, now, here's what we're at Voice of the Apostles. Cheon summarized the last part of my last sermon in 15 seconds. It took like 45 minutes with you guys. He said it in 15 seconds. So here's what he said. He said in the Christian life, and he said this just to continuum, he's not being condemning. The Christian life, there's believers that are not yet witnesses. There's believers that are witnesses, and then there's revivalists. Not yet witnesses are not talking about the Lord. Witnesses have a good life, and they'll tell people about the Lord. Revivalists are everything that a witness is, plus fire. Plus fire. They're on fire. They're burning for Jesus. Burning. For Jesus, burning for Jesus. Fire matters. Fire matters. I'm going to give you a verse. This relates to what we're getting into today. Remember, our main verse is God's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm moving into love today. We talked about power last time. I'm going to talk about God's love today. And I believe some of you are going to catch on fire with his love in a way you've never caught on fire before. Let me read to you from Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For what? Love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave, and what? Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. What's its? Love. Love is a fire. And when you catch fire with the love of God for you, your life will change. Listen to me. When you catch fire with the love of God, your life will change. Now, Today's sermon is titled, Touched by His Love. Touched by His Love. My goal is that someone here today would be touched by His love. Okay, Megan's going to share a quick testimony because this is going to, I think it's going to be a little different type sermon than what you've experienced before.
So Pete usually goes, you know, through the sermon with me. Usually it's the night before. Sometimes he'll just be talking through stuff with me. So Friday night we sit down, boys are in bed, and he starts going through the scriptures and stuff that he's going to be bringing on Sunday and kind of thinking about. And it, as he's bringing them, I'm just sitting there. And he's talking. I'm like, stop talking. Just stop talking. We're done. Like, we're going to meet with the Lord right now. Like, just stop talking. I can't take it anymore. You need to stop talking so we can meet with the Lord. And so he stopped. I finally interrupted him because I'm thinking this for a while, like just a couple minutes, you know. And then we got down and we worshiped the Lord together. And then we both just had an encounter with the Lord. And it was really, really good. And as Pete's talking about the sermon today, I told him, I think that people are going to start to burn in their hearts like I was burning on Friday night. And, you know, you're going to have to tell them that it's okay. Like if you guys, when Pete's preaching, he's going to be bringing the scripture and he's going to bring the word and some revelation. If you feel in your heart this thing of, I just want to talk to God right now. I have to. I can't take any longer. If you know, you can close your eyes, stop listening to Pete and just encounter the Lord. You can get down on your knees, you can get in the side. Try not to like totally disturb people, but it's okay. Like don't feel like you have to be like so super conscious of what everybody else is thinking or doing that you can't just encounter the Lord. But I just want to encourage you today that when he's preaching, it's the word of God. If you feel that stir in your heart, then meet with the Lord now. And the other thing is, you might not feel anything today, and that's fine. But what I encourage you to do is the scriptures that he's going to have is when you take them home, read them, because God wants to encounter you with his love, and you're going to have that. So if you don't feel it today, don't go home disappointed, because he wants to encounter you.
I had the same kind of thought. I kept having visions. God gives me visions a lot of times of what he's going to do. I kept having visions of like kind of like an interrupted sermon and some different thoughts. And I started sharing it with Megan. She said, no, this is what's going to happen. And that's what she just shared with you. I believe some of you are going to, even if it's one person, some of you are going to start to burn in your heart as I speak today. If that happens, go get with God. You can listen to this recorded. Don't quench God. I'm not trying to give you a theology today. I'm trying to facilitate an encounter. I've even purposefully not totally organized my notes into like grouping the scriptures together so that all three of these make the same point. I'm just going to kind of speak them with revelation over you, and I believe some things are going to start to move in your life. Different scriptures are going to minister to different people. Different scriptures are going to minister to different people, but your diamond is somewhere in these scriptures. We were recently at Voice of the Apostles. Georgian Banoff said something really good. I just want to encourage you with it right now. Most Christians think like this. Pure aqua, spring water, 16.9 fluid ounces, 500 milliliters, 1.05 pints. It's BPA free, 100% recycled plastic. That's called think. God's saying this. That's refreshing water. Pure aqua, spring water, come on. So refreshing. Water is an essential part of life. Wow, I feel so refreshed. That's called drink. The Christian life is not think, it's drink. The Christian life is not think, it's drink. The Christian life is not think, it's drink. Taste and see that he's good. Okay? You've got a brain. That's beautiful. But don't let it keep you from having an encounter. Okay, touched by the love of God. Like I said, some of you are just going to feel something. You might just get away with God for 10 minutes, then you come back. Whatever. Whatever happens, happens. We're just going to partner here. Okay, here's my story. For years, if pastors talked on love, I was not real excited about it. I felt like it was cliche. Let's get on to something else. Tough for me to connect with. I'd have thoughts like, yeah, I know that. Think is different than drink. Good? I don't want to get into the whole story, but I was in Cleveland a month and a half or 2 months ago. I texted Megan. I said, I need a fresh touch from God. I can't tell you how I knew that I knew that, but I mean, to say that I knew it is an understatement. I mean, I felt like I might die if I didn't have a fresh touch from God. Does that make sense? I mean, it was so heavy on my heart. I need touch by God. So I say, pray that I get touched by God. So I'm in a Starbucks weeping as the presence of the Lord is upon me, so much so that I believe an 18-month-old runs over to the corner of Starbucks to stand next to me. And what I'm saying is kids perceive spirits. This is why some kids will never go around certain people. I'm not saying that's always what's going on. There might just be that you have a beard and it looks scary. But I'm saying kids perceive spirits. You'll notice there's some people that kids all flock to. Kids perceive spirits sometimes more than we do. And so this kid runs over to the corner to stand next to me. Then the mom's like, what's going on? And she drags the kid away. The kid's looking over their shoulder, smiling at me huge. And I know what was happening there. The presence of God was so heavy on me that that corner of the room felt good to that kid. And so the Lord tells me, leave Starbucks. And I say, okay. I get in my Volvo, and I tell the Lord this. And I say, God, don't hold anything back that you want to give me right now. And here's my part of it. And I said, God, don't let me thwart anything that you want to give me right now. And then I proceeded to have the most dramatic encounter with God that I've ever had. He literally took shame off of me. And then I got to the lake where he told me, drive to the lake, Lake Erie. And I get out, it's pouring down rain. And he says, I told you to go to the lake. And I said, I'm here. And he said, I told you to go to the lake. And I realized he's saying, get out of your car. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's pouring down rain. And silence, right? So it's like, he's not kidding me. So I get out of the car, sidestepping 6-inch deep puddles. You know, it's one of those sort of torrential downpours where it's like, okay, so I get out of the car. There's more to this story, but I'll just try to keep it quick. I get out of the car, and it's lightning too. And so here's what I said. Lord, is this a demonic spirit trying to send me out to kill me, or is this you? Because it's lightning. I'm running out in the lightning and water. And I hear him clearly say, it's me. I say, okay. So I keep going. And so I go out towards the beach, and I don't want to walk on the beach and be a human lightning rod, so I stay back in the trees at the back of the beach, okay? And the Lord speaks to my heart something so profound. He had removed shame from me, and I felt like there was going to be a back end. You know, a lot of times when God delivers you from something, then there's a joy that comes on the back end of it. So I was like, Lord, I know you just removed shame from me, which I've had since I was a kid. You removed shame, but what are you wanting to put in its place, right? So I'm in those trees, and the Lord speaks to me, I love you. And somehow it sinks deeper than it's ever sank in my entire life, deep down into my heart. And I'm in those trees, and it's raining, trying to stand under the biggest leaves I can so I don't get too wet. And the Lord says, I love you, and it sinks down deep in my heart, and I knew it's God, but I tell him this. I said, God, I know you pretty well. This is an odd date for you to take me on to tell me that you love me, to stand out here in the lightning and the rain. That's not his nature. So I said, God, this is a little bit of an odd date. Am I missing something? And he says, walk out on the beach, and I'll clear the sky. So I start to walk out on the beach, a big crack of lightning, I run back into the woods. Three minutes later, it looks like the lightning's mostly east. And so I walk out on the beach, and here's what I find. 10,000 seagulls on the beach with a dramatic gray background and shafts of light coming down to them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know that I've ever seen a prettier scene. I turn around and see a double rainbow starting to form behind me. And then out over the lake is just an incredibly gorgeous sunset. And for the next 45 minutes, it didn't let up. You know, rainbows are normally 10 minutes. It just was bright and bright and bright and bright for 45 minutes. I was taking panoramic pictures of this beautiful sunset one way and the rainbow the other way. The sunset one way and the rainbow the other way. And the Lord speaks to me and says, this is for you. And I believed him. No one else was out there. I was at a Starbucks 5 miles away from the lake with the presence of the Lord moving on me where it had only started to drizzle. And he says, go to the lake. And then tells me to get out of my car. And I say, it seems like an odd date, God, to bring me out here. And he says, I'll clear the sky if you walk out. And I walk out there and he starts speaking his love to me. And he says, this is representative of my love for you, but it's only representative of it because the creature's never more than the creator. In other words, this is less than my actual love for you, but it's the best I can express with the sky. At the end, the Lord revealed to me what had just happened. He had removed shame and replaced it with his love. And I had been, I think, the best I could call it, is basically overwhelmed or baptized in his love. And he told me, I want you to start imparting that, giving that encounter of love away to people. Okay? On the drive home from Cleveland that time, I'm like, I've got to start learning about love. And this is a good practice, guys. When you get an encounter, what you want to do is you want to start, you have an encounter, but then you want to get into the scripture, and God will reveal more aspects of it than you're able to perceive just on your own. And so I get into the scripture about love, and one of the things I do straight away on the drive home is I listen to Andrew Womack. He has a teaching, God's Sort of Love for You. And I'm listening to it, and here's what he says at the start of the teaching. He says, in all my 30 years of ministering, and many of you know him, he's one of the best Bible teachers in the world, I'd say. He's an incredible Bible teacher. He said, in all my years of teaching, what I'm about to teach to you guys here today, 30 years of teaching the Bible, this is the hardest thing for me to teach, the love of God. He didn't say it was like a close second. He said, this is far and away the hardest thing for me to teach. I don't know if he said far away. You get the idea. He's saying it's the hardest thing. He said, here's why. He said, because almost every believer thinks they know it, but I can tell you from knowing most believers, almost none of them know it. And for the first time, I wasn't disdaining listening to a pastor talk about love, but instead, I'm listening to Andrew Womack, and I'm like, I know what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about because I knew about the love of God, but now I know the love of God. Something happened to me in Cleveland where all of a sudden I knew the love of God. Here is a phrase in my heart. I knew the grace of God and who I was in Christ, but now I know the heart behind that grace. I know the pulse beat behind that grace. And I'm listening to Andrew Womack talk about love and how it's the hardest thing for him to teach because it's hard for him to put words to it, one. And then the second thing is everybody thinks that they know it, but he's saying, I know very few Christians actually have encountered the love of God. And then we're listening to Leif Hetland recently, and he has a book, Baptism of Love. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is it. So I'm starting to see that there's this whole territory that I didn't know of. And what I'm trying to do here at the front end, I'm going to emphasize some things about what the love of God does for you. And I want to be clear. You know my heart. I'm big on like 1 Timothy 1:8, where the law is good if it's used lawfully, meaning that the law is not for the righteous person, the Bible says. I'm not trying to bring any law, any condemnation at all. However, I believe that you have a propensity to be like me, which is you think that you know the love of God, but if the details and the proofs of your life might not indicate that you actually have had an encounter with the love of God. And so I'm going to share some things here to try to bring humility, not try to bring heaviness, but to try to bring humility to help you receive. Grace always comes where humility is. And so one of the things a good teacher will do is sometimes where necessary, bring some humbling so that the grace can come in stronger. I don't want you to miss and gloss over this and be like I was being, where you sometimes are thinking like, yeah, I've heard it before, let's move on to something else. It's just cliche, that's a nice idea, I know God loves me. But I'm saying there's certain characteristics that would be apparent in your life if you've had a dramatic encounter with the love of God. And if you're aware of it today, you might have had a dramatic encounter with the love of God before, but you might not be aware of it now. Remember what Jesus told the angel of the church of Ephesus to say. Remember, the Ephesians got a glowing report in their letter from Paul. It was the church that Timothy pastored. And Paul said, I've got no one else like Timothy, someone who's got a true desire to see God's purposes come to pass in your life. And so the church of Ephesus was a glowing example. And even in the church, the angel says that I know your works, Ephesus, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear with those who are evil. I mean, this is, again, a glowing report from Jesus Christ himself in Revelations 2. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not and have found them liars. Guys, this was the real deal church. You know what I'm talking about from Revelations 2? And you've persevered and you have patience and you've labored, not even for your own recognition, but for my name's sake. And you've not even become weary in that labor. Sounds like a glowing commendation once again, right? Verse 4, Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. You've left your first love. He's saying you're doing all the right things, but you've left your first love. So it's possible that you've had an encounter with God's love before, but you've become dry in that love, just like a marriage can be passionate at start, but it can fade if you don't upkeep that passion. And so he's saying, repent. Remember from where you've fallen. Remember. Repent. Change your mind. And do the first works. What are the first works? The works of love. You guys remember when you got born again? Most of us in here, when you got born again, you're probably thinking to yourself, God's amazing. He loves me. This is awesome. I just want to be in his word. Every word I read, I just start crying. You can have it again today. God's latter days are always better than the former days. God's latter days are always better than the former days. Look, I'm telling you, you cannot mature yourself out of a need for God's love. Okay. So my question for you is, are you vitamin L deficient? All credit to Megan for that one. Vitamin L deficient. Ephesians 3, turn with me to Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. I'm going to give you some litmus tests. By the way, I'm going to teach on love all November, so we probably won't finish today. This is Paul praying for the Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, be humble, guys. For the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. You guys are familiar with this, I'm sure. I'm just giving you context. That Christ may dwell, this is Paul's prayer, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, so your ability to comprehend God's word is through your relationship with his love. You may be able to comprehend through being rooted and grounded in his love with all the saints what's the width, the length, the depth, and the height to know the love of Christ. He's saying that you would be able to comprehend how wide, how deep, how high the breadth of God's great love for you. He's praying that you would know the volume, right? The four dimensionality of God's love for you. Look at the result. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. So here's the first litmus test. And Andrew Almack talked about this too, and I think it's really appropriate. I thought I knew the love of God, but a good litmus test to ask yourself is, am I filled with all the fullness of God? Because if you're not filled with all the fullness of God yet, then that means you're not filled with all his love yet. If you're not filled with all the fullness of God yet, what would the fullness of God look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are characteristics of the working of the Spirit in our lives. If we're not filled, if I'm not filled with all those, I'm not totally filled with all those, please. If I'm not filled with all of those, that means there's more room for more of his love and more of a revelation of how great his love is for me. I'm trying to develop a little bit of hunger. Like I said, I'm not trying to be heavy-handed with you, but I am trying to humble you if necessary to look at the actual reality of your life and say, what's the proof of my life? Am I filled with all the fullness of God? And if not, could it be that I need more vitamin L, more of a revelation of his love in my life? Good so far? Let me give you another one. This one's even stronger. I love it, though. This has been setting me free, this verse. I've been ministering to this to some people in small sessions, and it's really a powerful truth. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Turn there. You know, I want you to see it in your own Bible. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Okay. hear pages turning. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Simple verse, easy to read over, very, very powerful truth. Do not love the world or the things in the world, and if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, I already mentioned to you guys to remind you how I teach on 1 Timothy 1:8 and the importance of locking onto grace and all that sort of thing. 100%. This is not what I'm about to do right here. I'm not trying to create a sin focus. Don't do that. Don't do that. However, I'm trying to give some data points to say, where are we at? The solution won't be to focus on your flesh. The solution will be the provision that's listed right here in this verse. Okay? So this is a provision focus, not a sin focus, but sometimes we need to be aware of where we need more of His grace, where we need more of His love. What this verse says, it says if you have the love of the world in you, it means you don't yet have the love of God in you in that area. If you have the love of the world in you, you don't yet have the love of God in you in that area. In other words, if you have the love of the world in you, that's highlighting to you, guys, this is so helpful, it's highlighting to you an area of your life that God is wanting to impart His love to you in. If you find an area of your life that has the love of the world in it, it highlights to you, it gives a target for God's love to come in. He's saying, to the extent that we have the love of the world in us, is the extent we haven't received His love in that area of our life. There's areas of your life that you've been quiet before God about because you don't want to talk to Him about it because you have shame. But God's removing shame from hearts so that you can actually come before God and receive His love about areas of your life that have been hard for you to talk with Him about. And I'm telling you that shame hides from His love. Shame hides from His love. But those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. And He wants you to be able to have a greater level of intimacy with Him. So look at this. It defines what the love of the world looks like. He says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so if you're struggling with lust, let's say, what that actually is a signpost for. It's a signpost for God wants to impart more of His love to you. You say, God, who do you want to be? How do you want to express your love to me so that I don't have this need unmet any longer? Do you hear me? If you're struggling with pride, let's say every time you do something good at work, every time you do something good with your family, every time you do something good for your spouse, within 10 minutes you're thinking about how great you are. Or, the opposite is every time you do something for anybody, within 10 minutes you're worrying about whether you did it right and what they think of you. That's pride too. And I'm not being heavy-handed. I'm saying what that is a need for more of the love of God. Because once we know the love of God, the pride of life, the need to be affirmed by other people goes away. I'm telling you, it makes everything else irrelevant. The love of God makes everything else irrelevant. If He's told you that He loves you, and you've received it in your heart, and you've encountered His love, it makes everything else irrelevant. Recently, the Lord told me, let the pride of life die. And I said, how, God? And He said, stop feeding it. I said, how do I stop feeding it? He said, every time you check someone else's opinion, you feed pride. Every time you check someone else's opinion, you feed pride. And so when you have a need to get other people's opinions, He's saying what you actually have a need for, listen, this is such a key. If you have a need to get something from someone else through covetousness or lust, if you have a need to get someone's affirmation, which is their opinions, which is pride, right? What you actually have a need is for His love. I'm not trying to bring a sin focus. I'm trying to help you see that when you see a target or a need like that, know that you've got the arrow to pierce it straight through the middle. What many Christians do is they see a need in their life, and then they look at that need like a target and say, pride, 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 pride. You can't hit a pride target by saying the name of the target over and over. It's one thing to know a target in your life. It's another to figure out what's the arrow that shoots it straight through. And that's the Word of God, which divides soul from spirit. And what's the Word of God that'll take the pride right out of your life? His love. And so often we think that what we need to do is buckle down. And while 1 Thessalonians does say, abstain from evil, which is good, sometimes you just got to cut the top of the weed off until you can get the thing settled in your heart. But you're like, in the meantime, I'm not going to keep doing that thing. Praise God. But what if God could actually get to the root so you don't even have the desire any longer? And so often we see the target in our life, but we think we just keep speaking about the target, but it's a different thing. You don't hit the target with the target. You hit the target with the arrow, and the arrow is God's love. And he's wanting to get into your heart with his love in areas where there's hurt to solve those things. Okay. So are you filled with the fullness of God, or do you need more of the fullness of God? Are you free from pride? Are you free from pride, and are you free from covetousness or lust? And if you are, then you don't need more of the fullness of God. But if you find yourself worrying about what other people think about you, or if you find yourself sometimes not being patient in things, the question is, have you received as much of his love as he has to give you? And the answer for all of us, of course, is no. Okay, good so far? So I just don't want you to think that love is cliche. It's not. It's not. It's an essential vitamin. Okay. Good. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 3:5. We'll do a few of these scriptures and then I'll probably call it good. So power, love, and a sound mind. You minister with power, you minister with love, but you can't minister with love if you've not received it. You've got to receive his love. You've got to receive his love. Actually, let me stop. I'm going to go to a different one first. Let's start here. Romans 8. Romans 8. 33 through 39, basically. We'll start there. I'm going to start because I just told you, you got to receive his love. Let me start by addressing the most major thing that'll keep you from receiving the love of God. Okay? The most major thing. Whew. Again, if the Lord starts speaking to you, just respond to him, not me. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God and who's able to also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it goes on. This is familiar verses for probably many of you. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what we're talking about here is separation from his love, right? Because I'm saying we need more of his love. And the question is, how do Christians end up not getting his love? What was separating me from his love? Listen, what was separating me from his love? Why did I need that encounter on the beach in order to have a greater revelation of his love? Because there was some separation that was going on in my heart because of shame. Right? So he removes the shame and then his love comes in. And what I want to talk with you about is the strategy of the enemy to keep you from experiencing his love. Because I'm saying God is wanting to direct you into his love today, but you need to know how to get out of the spot where his love is being blocked in your life. And there's a divine sequence that's laid out here in 8:33, Romans 8:33 through 39. And you can see in verses 35, 38, and 39, all the things that Paul's saying shall never separate us from the love of Christ, right? Do you see them all? He's persuaded that none of these things shall separate us from the love of Christ. And verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The answer is verse 33 and 34. Read them again. There is something that can separate you from the love of Christ. Verse 33 and 34. Read it in your own Bible. See if you see it. And then I'll teach. If you guys could put 33 and 34 up, that'd be great. None of those things can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But verse 33 and 34 tell you what can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Watch the sequence. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge or accusation against God's elect? Verse 34, who is he who condemns? Verse 35, who shall separate us? Three stages, watch it. Accusation, condemnation, separation. Accusation, condemnation, separation. This is the ploy of the enemy to keep believers from receiving God's love. Bill Johnson recently said, it's not that we have trouble with faith, not that we have trouble hearing God's voice so much as we're willing to hear other voices. Accusation is from the accuser of the... it's his name. The accuser of the brethren. Satan tries to tell unbelievers that they don't have a sin problem so that they'll never be saved, and then he tells believers that you have a sin problem so that you won't walk in righteousness. He's the accuser of the brethren. Watch what happens. Accusation, when believed, becomes condemnation. Accusation, when believed, becomes condemnation. Condemnation produces separation. Accusation, condemnation, separation. This is the ploy of the enemy. If you have separation, I don't mean to make it so simple, but I'm glad it is. If you are experiencing separation in your heart from the love of Christ, any distance, it's not on his end. That's why Paul goes on to say, what shall separate us? None of these things. None of them. Not your past, nor your future. Not angels or principalities, meaning even demonic spirits, can't separate you from the love of God. Neither height nor depth, meaning your circumstances here on this earth, cannot separate you from the love of God. Where shall I flee from your presence? What can separate you? Accusation, condemnation, separation. Accusation, condemnation, separation. So here's then another litmus test. Do I feel separation in my heart with God? The answer is yes, on some level. Where did condemnation slip in? Listen, where did condemnation slip in? In other words, you could think of that one differently even too. Which lie did I start believing? Which accusation did I start believing? Oh, yeah, I had that bad thought 10 minutes ago. Well, what do you do with that? Well, you guys know what to do with that, right? Who paid for that thought? Jesus. He paid for it all. You just say, thank you, Jesus, you paid for that. And what you do is you come out of the accusation of the accuser of the brethren, and you say, that's not who I am. I thank you, Jesus, that you've made me clean by your blood, and I step into that grace right now. All of a sudden, you feel God's presence come back on you. You start being aware of his love again. What I'm saying is, if we aren't filled with all the fullness of God, if we're struggling with identity sort of things, where we're having to covet something that someone else has, or we're having to get opinions from other people, pride, right? Then we need more of God's love. How do we get more of God's love? I've got a lot of scriptures to share with you to go through with revelations about them, but I'm starting with what the biggest hindrance is to encountering God's love. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, I think, says that Jesus is leading you into his love. He's directing your heart right now, this very moment, into his love. That's a ministry that he has to you. He's actually working to direct your heart into his love as though he was threading a needle. He wants your heart to come right into his love. He's directing your heart into his love. So constantly, God, if you look at the scriptures, God's directing your heart into his love that you may remain in his love and that you would respond to his love. He's directing you into his love that you'd remain in his love and that you'd respond to his love. He wants you to respond to his love, but the enemy comes in to try to cut off that lifeline to his love and to that intimacy with him by feigning that there's separation between you and him. But Paul says that none of these things shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. None of these things shall separate you except for the thing that you can allow to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, which is condemnation, which comes from believing an accusation. Accusation believed produces condemnation, and condemnation always produces separation. And you short circuit that by going back and addressing the accusation and saying, what's Isaiah 54:17? It says, who is he who condemns? It's Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who raised to life. That's not Isaiah 54.
That's what you were just reading.
Oh, okay. Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against you. But you're going to condemn what? So I'm telling you right now, you need to stop being condemned by the enemy. We need to stop being condemned by the enemy at all and instead start condemning his tongue. It's a different mindset. You become the aggressor. How dare you bring that railing accusation against me? Satan, get behind me. That's not who I am. You're speaking out of turn with what God did. And so it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Notice. And then it says, every tongue that rises against you. Do you see what that weapon is? Woo! Do you see what the weapon is? It's a tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And what's happening is the enemy's using the lying tongue in order to be a weapon against you. Because as soon as you receive condemnation, you receive separation. And when you have separation, he can bring disease into your life. He can bring financial trouble into your life. He can bring struggle at your job into your life that would not otherwise be there because you'd be purposefully connected to the vine and hearing what he's saying about every area of your life and flowing in his blessings in your life. And so how do you deal with that? It says you'll condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. You don't just say that's not right. You condemn it. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not believing that. That's not true. You condemn every tongue that rises against. And it says this is the inheritance of the servants of their Lord, and their righteousness is from me, declares the Lord. So what happens there is if you'll stand up to those accusations and not receive them, which turns into condemnation and separation, if you'll stand up to the accusations, what'll happen is as you start to condemn that tongue that rises against you in judgment, it says you've got to do that part. Isaiah 54 says you'll condemn every tongue. Don't think God will. It says you will. You'll condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment, right? And then what happens? This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And then watch. Their righteousness is from me, declares who? Here's what happens. As soon as you'll step up in faith and say, that's not from God and that's not who I am, someone else comes up behind you and his name is the advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who will say, righteous, righteous, righteous. He's received it by inheritance. You're the one that addresses the enemy and say, I'm not going to believe that. And you condemn the tongue, the accusation that rises against you in judgment. And as soon as you do that, you have backup that comes behind you, the Savior that hung on the tree who says, no, 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 he's righteous because of me and he's received it because of an inheritance. Stop that accusation right now. But you have to be the one that condemns the tongue. And when you condemn the tongue, then Jesus himself comes in behind as an advocate, a lawyer, like 1 John 2 talks about. Advocate comes behind and he says, no, 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 he's righteous because of me, declares the Lord. That's the biggest hindrance to walking in the love of God, is walking instead in condemnation. Good? There's no separation between you and God. I've got a lot more. God's leading your hearts into his love, but I'll just stop there for today. Good? Good, good, good. Okay, guys, here's the thing. We need his love. We need his love. I'm telling you, it can be in a spot. And I've had it before. I remember in 2011, I could barely read the Bible. That doesn't sound good, but just track with me. I'd read two verses and start crying, and the presence of God would come on me so strong. He'd start revealing all, give me these revelations, and I'd be like, boy, I better get back to the Word, you know, and then I'd read another verse, and I'd get whacked by the power of God again, and, you know, I mean, just like, boy, I made it through seven verses today in an hour or something like that. I mean, it's just awesome, right? On a whole nother spot again. It's amazing. Latter days are always greater than the former days. It's more than ever before. What's that? Glory to glory. I said this recently to some people. Guys, glory to glory means you don't, when God's doing a new thing, it doesn't have to be because there was a bad thing. The new thing can take you from glory to glory. It's from a good thing to a better thing. And so what I'm saying is if you have a lot of experience with his love, what if your level of encounter with his love went way up in your time in the Word? What if your level of encounter with his love went way up in your times of prayer? What if your level of encounter just as you're driving down the street went way up? And what I'm telling you to do this week, start humbling your heart. Start humbling your heart and say, God, I need more of your love. His grace comes where? Where there is? Humility. It's a spiritual principle, as soon as there's humility, grace rushes in. Isn't that awesome? And so as soon as you just turn your heart to saying, God, I need more of an expression of your love. I need more of an expression of your love. Whew, there it comes in. If you find yourself tripped up and you actually feel disconnected from the love of God, which happens to me often, you got to know how to get yourself out of it. If you sin, 1 John 2, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for your sins. Do you see what I'm saying? And so you need to learn to condemn the tongue that rises against you in judgment. Nothing shall separate you from God's love unless you allow accusation to lead to condemnation, condemnation, accusation, belief, which will lead to separation. So if you got separation, address the accusation with the truth of God, and you'll be back in his love. Okay? All right, here's what I have for you. A gift. Huh? What I have, I'll give to you. Okay, what I had done is there's 500 scriptures in the Bible about love, actually, that have the word love in it. It's about half in the New Testament. I went through the New Testament, pulled all the ones that spoke to me, that stood out to me, and I've made two sheets. One is God's love for me, and the other one is my love for others. Okay, so I'm starting with God's love for me for you here. What I've done is I've personalized every single verse, and so I've made it me. So when you read this out loud, it'll be me. You'll be reading about yourself. So the Lord directs my heart into his love, my heart into his love. Jesus is looking at me, loving me, and speaking to me. As one of his loved disciples, I lean on Jesus' bosom to hear his heart for me. Okay? And so some of these, I've changed the wording a little bit too to make it more like an affirmative declaration. I give the scripture reference for each one. Okay? There's a couple I combine multiple scriptures to do, but I'll have to just teach you on those next time. So what I'd like you to do is meditate on these scriptures. I'd encourage you to be speaking these this week. Now, the Word of God, you don't have to understand it. Remember, it's not think, it's drink. The thinking, I mean, you'll gain the understanding. Drink, 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 and it'll do its work in your heart, like Mark 4 says. Okay, so we'll pass these out. Here's what I also want to do. Some of you, I believe, some things started to stir today. I didn't get as far as I was hoping, but some things started to stir today. If you feel like there's a block to you receiving God's love, if anything came up during the sermon today where you're like, I feel like I shouldn't leave here without getting prayer, come get prayer. You're going to get prayer, and it's going to be powerful. Also, if you need physical healing today, God is here to heal. So if anybody needs healing, we'd love to see you healed. Any other need as well, please come up. Ryan and Amber, if you'd come up. Anybody who would like to pray, basically. We have a lot of people here equipped to pray. Okay. Well, Father, I pray a sealing over this word, and I pray, Father, for dramatic encounters with your love to be released. Every person here, wonderful encounters with your love to be released, Father, in your word and in prayer, driving down the street, Father. And I bind, in the name of Jesus, every foul spirit that's been lying to any believer here. And I declare and decree that condemnation will no longer steal the love of God from expressing itself in their lives. Amen. All right, God bless you guys.